Good morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
KUAF is supported by Penguin Ed's Barbecue, offering catering services for parties or events of any size at either your location or one of the banquet rooms at the Mission and Weddington restaurants. Various catering packages available, penguineds.com. In about 3 minutes on Weekend Ozarks at Large, Timothy Dennis will have his regular Sunday morning weekend review, and we'll find out why a startup in Fayetteville has a half million reasons to be happy this week.
But first, we do have to come to you special this morning because we're in the middle of our fall fundraiser. It's the time where we come to you, our listeners, and ask for your support. You listen to public radio because you prefer to stay informed from a trusted source, and you get access to that news through KUAF with programs like Weekend Edition and Ozarks at Large. We take the time to provide an in-depth look at the singular issues that make up the larger story. NPR News on KUAF puts a human face on the day's events, and they do it in a compelling way. Not driven by ratings, but by getting it right. That's because we are supported by our listeners, and if we don't get it right, you'll move on. Only with your support are we able to provide this unique new service that you've come to rely on. I mean, Ozarks at Large has been on Sunday mornings at 9 for how long?
Oh, Sunday mornings? 23 years,
right.
I think, yeah.
And we can do that. You rely on us to be here every Sunday morning. We can do that because of listeners like you. So call now. We have volunteers in the conference room. Call 575-5823, 800-522-5823. And if you're listening, maybe you're in bed listening on your iPad. I don't know.
Sure.
You can be doing that. You can go to supportkuaf.com.
And even if you are Sunday morning when some people want to run or walk or just hang outside, if you're listening on your phone, you can actually go to the app, the KUAF app, and there's a Contribute Now button.
Oh, you're right.
At the app. So you can contribute. If you're hearing this, you can contribute right now.
Right now, anywhere.
That's right.
You could be running the trails in downtown Fayetteville or around Crystal Bridges.
And much like we suggest that you not use the phone when you drive, if you are running, I would suggest at least slowing down to a walk before contributing on your
probably
phone.
Probably smart. I actually do know a guy that ran into a sign while he was messing with his phone. And
so don't do that.
Broke his arm. Yeah.
Oh, gosh, really? Again, it's supportkuaf.com, the KUAF app, or we do have phone volunteers here this morning, and they'll take your call at 800-522-5823
or 575-5823.
And from everyone at Ozarks at Large, KUAF, and from your fellow listeners,
thank you.
And this is Weekend Ozarks at Large for the final Sunday of October. In about 4.5 minutes on our program, Solar Solutions Incorporated this week got a big cash award from the Department of Energy. We'll have our story that aired on Daily Ozarks at Large in just a few minutes. First, though, other news from the past week as compiled by Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis for his regular Weekend Review.
Governor Mike Beebe on Monday signed bills into law that were passed during last weekend's special session of the Arkansas Legislature. The bills are aimed at partially reducing a rise in public school employee insurance premiums. The session was called to address both short and long-term fixes, but some of the reforms have yet to be crafted. Ongoing funding to mitigate premium increases will in part come from school faculty and teacher development funds. But Governor Beebe says that's just one part of a more permanent fix.
The second part of the long-term solution is a systemic change, which we never thought you could do in 3 days. It was always contemplated that that was going to take some in-depth study, some testimony, and you couldn't do that in 3 days. That's going to take a year, or at least several months.
The governor says it's too soon to tell if efforts to fix the program will turn around enrollment trends.
In terms of getting more participation, I think you're going to have to wait until we see what the task force comes up with in terms of systemic changes before before we know whether or not we'll be able to get increased participation. I think you'll have to see what the plans end up being.
A 14-member task force made of legislators, state employees, and teachers have until the end of June to come up with a plan. Legislation creating the task force stipulates one part of the fix must be the inclusion of deductibles and for the Employee Benefits Division Board to be reformed with new appointees. Also this week, the Ozark campus of Arkansas Tech University received full approval for its Associate Degree in Nursing program from the Arkansas State Board of Nursing. Full approval is the final step in a three-phase approval process for nursing programs. The school received prerequisite approval in 2011, and in January 2012, the Nursing Board gave the school initial approval for the Registered Nursing Program. Teresa Fontaine, Program Chair for the Registered Nursing Program at ATU Ozark, says that the first class of students started last fall and graduated in spring of this year.
What full approval means is that the State Board of Nursing came back and looked at that first cohort of students and said that we had satisfied all of the requirements that they wanted us to have. We had all of the facilities in place for our students to do clinicals at. We had good pass rates on our students that took the NCLEX, which is the national board certification that they all have to take when they complete a program. And so it just basically is the gold star saying that we met all of the requirements.
The full approval means that the college can continue offering its registered nursing program, which is subject to review by the nursing board every 5 years. Bentonville City Council this week approved plans for the city's $16 million community center. The 80,000-square-foot facility will include an aquatic center, fitness center, gymnasium, community rooms, and more. Construction will take about 18 months, and the groundbreaking is set for 10:30 a.m. on November 12th. David Wright, the city's Parks and Recreation Director, says that the community center project has been developed over the past 4 years, and he says that during that time, the project's design has been shaped in part by public input.
Now, our job over the last several years has been really twofold. One, we have to make sure that we're building a building that we can afford. So I've worked very closely with a construction management team, and we have analyzed every single amenity that is in this building. That goes from everything from the water faucets to the equipment in the basketball gymnasium. So literally, we haven't left anything unturned in looking at the design of the project and making sure that we're using our money the best way. And then the other side of that is that we had to save the money to do it.
To cover the majority share of the project's cost, Wright says that the city took excess revenue and unused money at the end of the city's budget years, but a sizable portion of project funding came from outside sources, including $1 million from the Bentonville School District as part of the joint use agreement for the center's pool facilities, $1 million from the CARE Foundation, and $2 million from the Walton Family Foundation. From the Harold and Blanche Kalk News Studio, I'm Timothy Dennis, and this is Weekend Ozarks at Large.
A Fayetteville-based startup is closer to finding out if its patent-pending process can lead to much cheaper solar energy. Silicon Solar Solutions, LLC, has received a $500,000 award from the U.S. Department of Energy. The cash, officially called a Sunshot Incubator Award, is going to an Arkansas-based company for the first time ever. Solar Silicon Solutions is based at the University of Arkansas's Research and Technology Park in South Fayetteville. Yesterday, Douglas Hutchings, the CEO of the company, explained in brief what the award-winning component invented in Fayetteville is intended to do.
We take silicon solar cells, which are 80% of the market out there today, and we have a surface treatment that makes the top layer better, right? And this allows electrons to get out much easier, so you get more electricity out. And at the same time, we can reduce the amount of silver they use on the front side, so you reduce the costs.
A few minutes later, and a few thousand feet to the west, Seth Shumate, who invented the better solar emitter, stood in front of a massive multi-million dollar machine in a lab at the Research and Technology Park.
Well, in here, we flow hydrogen gas right over the top of the solar cell, and there's a tungsten filament in there that goes to 1900 to 2100 degrees Celsius, which is, you wouldn't want to touch it, let's say that. And that splits the hydrogen up in there, and so we wait a certain amount of time depending on the experiment we're running, and then take our samples out and go measure them. So there are other labs here that have solar cell characterization, and we also make solar cells in the High Density Electronics Center clean room.
If you didn't quite understand all of what Seth said, you're in good company.
I was just over there getting a short-term lesson that I absorbed about 4 or 5% of with regard to exactly what's going on here.
Governor Mike Beebe helped make the formal announcement yesterday about the award. The Department of Energy money is intended to be a catalyst to spur private investment. Douglas Hutchings says there is a definitive plan for the $500,000 award. It's to be used to move the technology from the lab to the marketplace.
Energy, right? When you start talking energy, you're talking not billions, you're talking trillions of dollars. Solar is in its infancy at this point. I mean, I believe without a doubt that it will become one of the cheapest forms of electricity on the planet. And if you can be a significant part of making that happen, there is obviously a very large opportunity. We tend to think more of, what do we need to get done right today, this week, this month, as we work towards that. But that's definitely one of the big reasons why we wake up excited every single day.
He says if all goes well in the next stages, a future phase would involve Arkansas manufacturing of the equipment. And he told the audience yesterday at the formal announcement he intends on keeping the company inside Arkansas's borders.
We were just last week down in Texas meeting potential customers, partners, and investors. The very first thing they always ask us is, are you willing to relocate? In fact, just this morning, someone asked me, hey, now that you've got a sunshot, where are you moving? Well, we definitely see no need to relocate. We fought very hard to create our jobs.
This spontaneous applause, it was started by the governor.
We fought very hard to create the jobs that we have right here in Arkansas. And our goal is to manufacture the equipment necessary to do that process right here in Arkansas, and in turn, hopefully attract solar manufacturers to locate here in the long run.
Seth Shumate, the man credited with inventing the self-aligned hydrogenated selective emitter, is from Conway. And Douglas Hutchings, the CEO we heard from, grew up in MENA. And Hutchings can now dare to dream big for his home state after the $500,000 award.
To be honest, it's hard not to get goosebumps sometimes when you think that over the next decade, 80% of the solar industry could be incorporating a technology that was developed right here in Arkansas.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. That story about solar solutions first aired on the daily edition of our program on Thursday. This reminder, you can hear new editions of Daily Ozarks at Large every Monday through Friday at noon, with encore editions of that program every Monday through Friday night at 7. And just ahead on Weekend Ozarks at Large, the Arkansas Poll, the 15th edition of the Arkansas Poll, was released this week. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda talked with Janine Perry, the director of the poll. We heard part of their conversation on the Thursday edition of our daily program. We'll hear more from their discussion in about 4 minutes on Weekend Ozarks at Large. Then, Christina, you will talk with Becca Martin Brown, our usual Sunday conversation about entertainment options for the week ahead.
Right. She tells us what's up. But for now, we have to ask that you call 575-5823 or 800-522-5823 and speak to one of our phone volunteers. We are in the middle of our fall on-air fundraiser, a time when we come to you, our listeners, and ask that you help support the things that you hear on KUAF every day. We just heard Weekend Edition earlier this morning.
This American Life with Ira Glass coming up next.
Right.
On the media.
All sorts of
the TED
all sorts
Radio
of programming.
Hour. Right. Yeah. We really like this Sunday lineup that we have.
Sunday morning is one of my favorites, that's for sure.
And we are so thankful that you spend part of your Sunday with us and spend some of your Sunday attention on us, because you're probably very aware that your attention has many different places where it can go and spend some time.
Is it okay if I come and ask if we can spend some money on Sunday mornings?
Yes, absolutely. We're asking you to spend some money on Sunday mornings, as well as your attention, because with smartphones, the web, perhaps your tablet, perhaps television, perhaps the Sunday edition of the Democrat Gazette or the New York Times or a magazine or a novel or your family, there are all sorts of things you can spend your attention on, but you're spending some of it with us today. That's because radio, in its simplest form, is still the easiest way for you to get news, weather, information, or music. All you have to do, turn it on. And you're free to do anything else you want with your hands or eyes while the radio is on, making it perfect for the multitasker. If more and more of your day unfolds with KUAF playing in the car, in your kitchen, as you get ready for work or school, or as you just relax, please make a donation to keep KUAF here. Your financial contribution is the reason we're here. You can call us at 800-522-5823. You can also go online if your attention's already on one of those screens in your life. You can go online to supportkuaf.com. We don't ask that you think about it too hard. You can decide how much and how you make the payment. We just ask that you make that, I think, relatively simple decision to do your part to support your public radio station by calling 800-522-5823 or online at supportkuaf.com.
And thank you.
Good Sunday morning. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. Earlier this week, the 15th edition of the Arkansas poll was released. The poll was conducted during the first half of October by the University of Arkansas and is conducted by Professor of Political Science Janine Perry, who is on the faculty at the U of A. Earlier this week, she talked to Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda about some of the results from the poll, including Arkansas voters' feelings and opinions about immigration reform, gay marriage, and general optimistic or pessimistic feelings for Arkansas's future. They also discussed what the poll tells us about what Arkansas voters think about their elected officials. We didn't have time on the Thursday edition of our daily show to get that part of the conversation on the air, so we'll hear that part of their discussion now.
Mike Beebe here in the state didn't take too much of a hit. He still has, you know, enviable approval ratings, as Arkansas governors usually have. But both Senator Bozeman and Senator Pryor, and then, of course, together with President Obama, they all hovered at about 30% approval ratings. And that's just not something to write home about. So I know that the shutdown was affecting them as well.
Well, I know we have some time before the next election here in Arkansas in 2014 and then nationally in 2016. Do you feel like this will be echoed in those elections, or is this sort of like a temporary thing, you think, because it was in the midst of the shutdown, that, you know, this is reflective of how people were feeling at that moment?
I think it has a lot to do with at the moment. That said, what's happening at the moment can impact then for those election cycles. So we know right now that Mark Pryor, for example, is caught in a really tight contest that, you know, he won't see till 2014. But if anybody's watched their television lately, he's already in the middle of that campaign with Tom Cotton, the Republican contender. So I think Mark Pryor will feel that in a way, right, that, say, John Bozeman won't. I think for Senator Bozeman, you know, he's not up for a couple more years. And so for him, this is kind of a temporary setback. And I'm sure it's disappointing to see your disapproves go up and your approval ratings drop. But I think for Senator Pryor, right, the legacy could be a little more lasting as it becomes part of the messaging that's happening from Tom Cotton's campaign, for example, and then of course, from their allies. That said, Tom Cotton is also an incumbent. He happens to serve in the U.S. House. We don't poll at that level. It's very expensive to poll at a regional level instead of a state level. So we don't have those numbers for him, but I would doubt very much that he would have done better than about 30%. That's just where incumbents right now are. That's the environment in which we live.
Was there any concern that how it would have affected the poll or how it would have affected your questions? Because wouldn't you have had to change them if the shutdown had stopped in the middle of your polling session?
Yes.
or even, you know, the day of?
Yeah, it's definitely...
Because you polled from October 10th to 17th.
Right. So
right in the middle.
Right in the middle. Just that lucky. There is always the concern. Well, we've done that before. I remember the first year we polled, or maybe the second year, there was a property tax or a tax measure, one of the ones that some of your listeners might remember, Oscar Stille out of Fort Smith. And he put forward a lot of petitions, initiatives, that kind of thing. And they were anti-tax. And One of them looked like it was going to get on the ballot, and a lot of people who work for the public sector and want money for the public sector had sued because they said it was too broad, and it had, I think this was the one that they called sort of the Trojan horse inside, where future tax increases were also forbidden or at least very, very difficult. So there was a court challenge to it as we entered the field, and it was struck from the ballot as we were in the field. You know, so it was sort of one of those, you know, the record screeches, record player screeches. It wasn't quite clear. Do we continue pulling it? Do we pull it off? In that case, we stopped pulling it because asking questions costs money and it was no longer relevant. So in that case, we did stop polling midstream, and then we just didn't report it because I think we would have had a very large margin of error, not a very good representative sample. In this case, I was kind of hoping, there was a little piece of me that thought, well, if I got really lucky in a abstract academic sense, maybe right in the middle, you know, it'd be the shutdown would stop, and then I could compare answers sort of pre and post, because in a way there's pretty good random assignment between, say, the first half of the sample, the first 400 people to answer, and the second 400 people to answer. But that didn't happen. So instead we have a sample that was all equally affected by a shutdown, and that's still interesting.
So you're never concerned about, I would think as someone who does polls, that you would be concerned that something major like this would be happening at that time, because you want it to be representative of the state, you know, on an average day, I would think. Mm-hmm. And then with something very unique, such as a government shutdown, there's virtually no way that that's not going to affect the results. So does that worry you about the results that you have, that, you know, when you look back at 2013, are these really accurate of what people were feeling most of the year?
I think that's really great, because polling is a snapshot. It might just be a couple of days. What it usually is just a couple of days in the field. And you do hope it's a representative day. And so, yes, in the future, I will have to remember, or someone will have to remember, you know, what in the world was going on in 2013? And they might have to look to the news, or maybe I should leave myself a little footnote, you know, in case I get dotty, you know, well into the next 20 or 25 years here. But that said, it was so unique. You know, it's been quite some time since we've had one, that it was interesting to watch it move. So I guess I'm okay with either thing happening. But that said, it is kind of hard sometimes to hang on to. I know that for several years, gosh, really probably 8 or 9 years after the situation on 9/11 in 2001 happened, I would still have reporters glancing quickly at the results and saying, you know, well, what's going on with the president's approval ratings? Because we were in the field right after 9/11, and so George W. Bush's approval ratings were astronomical, right? What political scientists call the rally around the flag effect. Nobody wants to say they don't like the president when something so terrible has happened. But they were artificially high in that sense. And so as they continued to drop, people needed to be reminded that that's not really a good question. That particular snapshot was skewed for that year, and now it's come down to normal levels. So if you want to talk about a normal level of presidential approval, let's do that. But let's not talk about his 30-point drop, because it's not really a fair comparison. So I hope, you know, that another 15 years from now, people will still process that and make sense of it and kind of, you know, take it into consideration as they're trying to discern patterns or explain outliers.
How do you pick your dates? Is it always in the fall, or you just randomly assign it throughout the year?
It's always in the fall. A lot of, because I'm a political scientist and it's a poll related to politics and policy, the fall is the time for elections and campaigns. And so I think that makes it a particularly appropriate or applicable time to be in the field. So it's always in October, almost always the second or third week of October, and then the results are almost always the third or fourth week. So that's been, I guess, the pattern for us since 1999.
The conversation between Janine Perry, the director of the Arkansas Poll, and Antoinette Grajeda from Ozarks at Large took place earlier this week. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Good morning. It is Sunday, October 27th, 2013. This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas. And joining me now is Becca Martin Brown, features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Okay, you're starting to look a little tireder.
Yeah, yes. So is it day 4?
Day 4.
And it's early.
Yes, it is. But we're going to talk about sex.
Okay.
Or actually a play called No Sex, Please, We're British.
All right.
I woke her right up.
Yes, you did.
I woke her right up. This is the show that is currently on stage at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those great traditional British farces, mm-hmm, with lots of slamming doors and running in circles, like Run for Your Wife, Caught in the Net, or even Noises Off, which is kind of a parody of that, mm-hmm, genre. In this case, there are a couple of newlyweds who, he's an assistant bank manager. They've moved in above the bank, and she innocently orders some Scandinavian glassware. Unfortunately, she gets Scandinavian pornography. Mm-hmm. And then she gets Scandinavian DVDs. And then she gets books, and then she gets Scandinavians.
Well, I've never seen this. I know I've heard the name over and over and over again, but I'm assuming that that does not go well for his new job at the bank.
No, it doesn't. Okay. And that turns into a problem, mm-hmm. as does a visit from his mother and a visit from his boss, who's mm-hmm. played by Steve Drasnick, who I love, a visiting bank inspector, a police superintendent. Yes, it all goes badly. And Harry Blundell, who's the director of theater at ACL, wants everybody to know that while it is funny, it's not really that risque. So don't stay away just because it's about sex. And never order Scandinavian crystal by mail. 3 o'clock today, 7:30 next Friday and Saturday at ACO, and tickets are $20 for non-member adults. And this afternoon, you might want to catch a trunk or treat at several different churches. 3 to 7 at Thrive Christian Church in Fayetteville, 4 to 6 at Highlands Church in Bella Vista, 4 to 6 at Oakley Chapel in Rogers. And also tonight, Celtic Thunder is in Fort Smith.
What is Celtic Thunder?
I believe they're a cappella.
Okay.
Irish mm-hmm. singing group. Mm-hmm. So good, the tickets start at $50 and the meet and greet tickets are $250.
Oh.
That's what I can tell you. They are on stage at 5 today at the Arkansas Best Performing Arts Center in Fort Smith, and you can find out more at celticthunder.ie.
All right. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Weekend Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Just ahead, our Sunday montage. I'm not going to tell you what it's about just yet. And we'll also hear from Michael Jonathan. He is the host. He's the producer of Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour. Just last night at the Odd in Eureka Springs, big crowd to see that show done live.
Didn't he do two shows?
He did do two shows. A double broadcast that will be on public radio stations like KUAF, on PBS TV all over the country, as well as Armed Services Radio Network. Before he did his performance at the Odd, he came to the Carver Center for Public Radio.
And Antoinette Grajeda spoke with him on Thursday.
That's right. And he played a couple of songs for us. We'll hear one of those songs in just a few minutes here on Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Special edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large.
Because we're asking you to participate in a way that is so basic to public radio. We're asking you to help pay for all the programs that you hear, not just Weekend Ozarks at Large. You can do that at 800-522-5823.
575-5823.
Or support KUAF.com.
While we're talking about the cost of programming.
Yes.
This American Life, it comes up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, about half an hour or so.
That cost KUAF almost $9,000, $8,600 a year.
Just that show. And I tell you, now depending on what you think of the show, it might, you know, you might kind of reel back there for a second, almost $9,000. But I tell you, if we said, oh, we can't have This American Life, there'd be a lot of you who would be upset. And if you wouldn't be upset about losing that show, you'd probably be upset about losing, oh, I don't know, On the Media, which is a bargain at under $3,000. But what if we talked about Morning Edition or All Things Considered? Morning Edition, nearly $95,000. All Things Considered?
Almost $46,000.
Yeah. Those are just some of the shows. That's before we turn on the lights. That's before we have transmission fluid in the transmitter. That's before anything else. The programming, what you appreciate the most, it costs us money. And to pay for those shows, to write the checks, to keep all the programs that you enjoy coming to you,
we have to come and ask for you to help us pay for those programmings.
Now, we are not going to ask you to pay for all of Morning Edition. I'm not asking you to write a check for $95,000. I'm not going to stop you. You want to call up right now and pay for Morning Edition,
we would take it.
We will take it. Honestly, we would. However, the way public radio works, hence the name Public, is that we all come together. All of us who use public radio, who value it, who benefit from it, we all come together.
Right. That $96,000, that cost of Morning Edition, is about $365 per episode, which is a dollar a day for maybe one of you, our listeners. So maybe you can afford to give us $365 a year.
And we do have installments. So perhaps you'd like to increase the amount of your gift. You can't do it all now. There are ways through bank draft or becoming a sustaining member. You have something pulled out of your bank account once a month. That's what I do.
That's what I do.
And then you can increase the amount that you give KUF. But we leave it all up to you. Every contribution is valued, whether it's $25 one-time gift, mm-hmm. $25 a month, or the entire $95,000 for Morning Edition. We appreciate everybody who comes together and keeps the radio on for all of us who listen to it.
And our volunteers are in the conference room right now, waiting to help you make that decision.
All you have to do is call them.
575-5823, 800-522-5823.
Or supportkuaf.com, and thank you. And this is Weekend Ozarks Largest Promise, time for our Sunday montage.
Normally, you talk to me throughout the week about what the montage is. We kind of discuss what it's going to be.
Right.
I don't know this morning.
Well, okay. We've been doing this for a little over a year and a half. Previous fundraiser, we did a montage dedicated to money. Makes sense, right?
Things like Pink Floyd money.
Right. Last spring, it was dedicated to questions because we were asking people to become contributors to KUAF. Mm-hmm. So who wrote the Book of Love and things like that. So today's montage, Philadelphia. It has nothing to do with...
That has nothing
no,
to do with
doesn't.
The fundraiser.
No, it doesn't. But it was 331 years ago today that Philadelphia first incorporated into a city.
Okay.
And I think Philadelphia is an underrated city. Have you ever been to Philadelphia?
I have not. I've been to Pittsburgh.
Ah, also underrated. Mm-hmm. Philadelphia, a big, sprawling kind of city, sometimes gets a bad rap. I mean, their sports fans have a reputation for being somewhat raucous. After all, they pelted Santa Claus with snowballs. But there is a real underdog spirit to Philadelphia. There's a lot of public art. So in honor of Philly's 331st birthday, here's a montage. 10 clips, all somehow connected to the city of brotherly love. I see you, and you see me, but you're blurring the line when you're making a scene. Oh, girl, you got to know what my head overlooks. The senses will show to my heart when it's watching full eyes. You can't escape my private eyes. He's given you a grim prognostication of our national future, but where he foresees apocalypse, I see hope. I see a new nation ready to take its place in the world, not an empire, but a republic, and a republic of laws.
Are you a good lawyer, Andrew?
I'm an excellent lawyer.
What makes you an excellent lawyer?
I love the law. I know the law. I excel at practicing.
What do you love about the law, Andrew?
Many things. What I love the most about the law?
Yes.
Is that every now and again, not often, but occasionally, you get to be a part of justice being done. I don't even know a song to sing. All I know is la 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 la. I love you. So long, Mom. If you want me today, I'll be at school all day. Hey, hey, hey. You're the one that I do.
marry that guy.
George, I'm going to. Why not?
Well, I don't know. I thought I'd be for it at first, but you just don't seem to match up.
Then the fault's with me.
Well, maybe so, but all the same, now you can't do it.
No?
No.
Come around about noon tomorrow.
I rated it a 90 because I like the tambourine in it and the cymbal beat.
Think it'll be a hit?
Yes, I do. I think it'll be a real big hit.
Obviously, a 90, you liked it. June, did you agree or disagree?
I agreed. I rated it 85, and I thought the tambourine came out real good, and you can dance to it. It has a nice beat to it.
And if you'd like to be able to identify all 10 clips that were used in this week's montage, a salute to Philadelphia on its 331st birthday, you can go to our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com, and look for today, October 27th's edition of the program. Last night in Eureka Springs, Michael Jonathan brought Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour to the City Auditorium. And before he was in Eureka Springs, he stopped by KUAF and the Carver Center for Public Radio to talk about his radio program, his career, and play a couple of songs. This is one of the songs he played while he was at KUAF. It's titled simply Flowers.
Hair of gold and eyes like stars shine like diamonds on my heart. You are love and earth to me, so flowers I will give to thee. The morning sun like marigolds I will give for you to hold. All my love and loyalty are in these flowers I give to thee. I will give you roses red and pick for you a flower bed, a living crimson tapestry. Flowers I will give to thee. I hope the nighttime stars that shine give you rest and peace of mind. In the morning light you'll see a world of flowers I give to thee. I will give you roses red and pick for you a flower bed, a living crimson tapestry. Flowers I will give to thee.
Michael Jonathan, along with Melissa Denning from Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour, they were in our building on Thursday. They were in the Odd in Eureka Springs, the City Auditorium, last night. But they performed the song Flowers for us Thursday at the Carver Center for Public Radio.
While they were here, didn't they talk to you a little bit about public radio?
Well, a couple of times. This was without a prompt. Michael Jonathan is a huge fan and supporter of public radio, not just because so many public radio stations play his show, but he makes a case for why public radio is so vitally important to the very fabric of what music is. And we didn't have a chance to put this in on our Friday broadcast of the daily programs, but this is what he had to say about public radio and music. And listen.
Life is meant to be pursued, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, how many people sit around thinking about what they want to do and never doing it? And letting the opportunity, those tumblers you were talking about, mm-hmm. letting them slip by because they think either they're not allowed to or they're not good enough. It's the, can I preach for a moment here, get on my little musical soapbox?
Yes.
I hate most of the music business because, especially the record business, you know, music is, what is it? It's vibrating air. It's vibrating air. That's all it is, right? There's nothing really special. You know, what a plumber does in your home is by far more important than somebody, me, sitting there with a banjo vibrating air. Big deal. Yet I get a standing ovation for it. The plumber doesn't, and what he does is more important, right? 50 years ago, record companies figured out how to sell vibrating air. They capture it on a little black disc with a hole in the middle. The kids don't know what that is, but those are called records, right? Once they figured out how to do that, they began this long process of separating people from their own music. It's called the star system, convincing the public that only the stars are truly capable of making music. And this human organic need that we have to make music and art and communicate with each other. Something that America was built on, the front porch players, community players, barn dances, people performing in their living rooms, singing together and being joyful together. And it got removed from them thinking that only Elvis can do it, only the Beatles can do it. The only way to participate in music is to buy the vibrating air from the record company. And I'm against that. I am all for the KUAF listeners making their own music, which is why we highlight unknown artists mostly on Wood Songs, because I want everybody to feel like they can do it too. And that's the career of the guy that I grew up next to. That's Pete Seeger's career. Was getting the audience to sing with him, to get them. How many people play the banjo today because they saw Pete Seeger play it in person, right? And so we have to go, as a country, we have to go back to that organic roots thing, which is why public radio is so important. Satellite radio doesn't do that. Commercial radio doesn't do that. Public radio is the last gateway between genuine art and the audience rediscovering their own music again, bringing music back into the living rooms, back into front porches. And I'll tell you what, next time that there's a fun drive going on at KUAF, I hope everybody opens up their wallet and supports the station, because you're not just supporting hometown community radio, you're supporting the last gateway between true artists and you, the audience. You're protecting yourself by supporting public radio.
Michael Jonathan, who is, of course, the host of Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour, he was talking about public radio and its role in music when he was in the Carver Center for Public Radio earlier this week. And we thank him very much. He says he wants to come back to Northwest Arkansas, Fayetteville, Eureka Springs, wherever.
Good.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
It is. And he really, really enjoyed it. In just a minute, Zombies on Stage. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
But first, we're going to try to keep you from being The Walking Dead by calling us, taking an active role in how public radio exists in your life.
If we play a role in your Sunday morning, please call 575-5823 or 800-522-5823 or go online to supportkuaf.com.
You make up your mind about how valuable it is that public radio and Weekend Ozarks at Large and This American Life is here for you. You determine the amount that you contribute, but we do ask that you contribute. Again, supportkuaf.com.
Or 575-5823, 800-522-5823, and we thank you.
And lights up.
A group of about 15 zombies, aged 10 to 17, make their way from various corners of the Arts Live Theater in Fayetteville to join one another on stage. The 16 actors and actresses are taking part in the youth theater group's Halloween play, A Zombie High School Homecoming. The play is written by Arts Live veteran Reed Carson for an Arts Live original production, the first full-length play to be written by one of the kids. A junior in high school, Reed says he has been writing shows with his friends for as long as he can remember.
We'd write a show, kind of. We'd rehearse it, and then we'd show it to our parents. They were always murder mysteries. I don't know why we did that, but we were too young for that. But I don't know. I've been writing for a while. I wrote a skit for my talent show in third grade. But then in sixth grade, I wrote a, like, 30-minute sketch for my talent show called Deal or No Deal, a parody.
Arts Live executive director Mark Landon Smith had the storyline, but approached Reed to pen the script. At over an hour in length, A Zombie High School Homecoming is much longer than the short films and skits he was used to writing, as well as having a much larger cast. Thanks to television shows like The Walking Dead, zombies are a trendy thing of late, making it easy for Reed to get some inspiration.
I guess my thing that got me really into zombies was the film Zombieland. I watched it. It was one of, like, the first rated R movies I saw, and I loved it. I don't know. Just like that way of, it's like a juxtaposition between, you know, zombies and then a hilarious comedy storyline. So I don't know. Yeah, I like zombies more than vampires or whatever.
He says that the film was the first thing that came to his mind when he was approached with this idea. He knew it was a comedy, but didn't want to parody zombies. He wanted zombies in a real-world setting and to make it funny and for the actors to play actors, telling the story of the event to the audience.
Shut up. He was talking about the audience.
Oh. Oh, well, what are they doing here?
I'm not sure. Maybe they want to hear the story.
What story?
The story.
The story?
Yes, the story about the zombies and the end of the world and how everyone died.
Oh, that story. Don't worry. When she says the end of the world and everyone dies, she doesn't mean it.
Yeah, that's just zombie rule number 23.
All zombie stories from Night of the Living Dead to World War Z have something to do with the end of the world and everyone dying.
And a group of soul survivors seeking refuge in old jailhouses or an island off the coast of L.A.
A Zombie High School Homecoming is about a zombie named Kay Daver, who was woken up from her death. She can talk and has feelings, having yet to evolve into the thoughtless and staggering zombies we're all familiar with. Upon awakening, Kay stumbles into a high school.
But homecoming is coming up, and it's a horrible time of the year, trust me. Just everyone is asking everyone, and you feel this pressure on you to get asked or to be asked or to ask. And she's just thrust into this world because she doesn't remember anything from her past live life. But she's just thrust into this world of high school, and there's the mean cliquey girls and the jocks and the weirdos and the outcasts.
Kay meets this one guy who is kind of a jock, but there's something else about him, and they fall in love, taking a weird trip down a road of people disapproving of their relationship. Then someone finds out she's a zombie for sure. The show is complete with a villain who tries to get rid of Kay. 10-year-old Ashley Keltspeaker is dressed in a white and red coat and hat, a little large for her small size, but necessary for the role.
Meek or Scanty, the villain. It's very fun because I get to do an evil laugh. And I like it when I get pushed out. Mwah-ha-ha-ha! I have to do it really long, though, because I have to run out the back.
This is Ashley's second time acting with Arts Live, and she says it's fun to be someone else for a little while. Upon completion of the script, Reed had to relinquish control and turn the play over to director Jules Taylor. He knew that that was what was going to happen, but still found it difficult. Jules says she hardly had any notes when she first read it, and is proud of the work that makes her laugh out loud.
Well, it's very, very spoofish. It's kind of a spoofy, silly, funny little show. It's got a lot of, you know, puns and jokes. I would say, you know, High School Musical or even Glee without the music. There's no music, but kind of like that whole idea of the high school meets, you know, Twilight or something. It's just kind of like a combination, but yet it's all done tongue-in-cheek.
Having been with Arts Live for 9 years, Jules says she is blessed to work with kids and is constantly amazed with their creativity, having to give little direction on how to be a zombie.
They all have their own conception of what it should be. And like that first scene, you know, when they all come out as a zombie, they all, I just told them, you know, do what you think a zombie would do. And they all came up with hilarious little walks and moves. And that's all them. That was not me at all. That's all the kids coming up with it. Their own unique zombie-isms.
As mentioned earlier, Kay Daver is the main zombie, having to maintain her zombie-isms the entire length of the play. First-time Arts Live actress Macy McDowell has that starring role. A senior at Shiloh Christian School, it was a role she was very excited to get.
I was in the middle of a history class, actually, and I was like, I have to leave. And I got up and ran to my drama teacher's room and told her, and she was so excited too, so that was cool.
As the play begins and the zombies make their way to the stage and explain the story to the audience, Kay, played by Macy, must lie at center stage for a good 10 minutes, playing dead and not moving.
That's actually one of the scariest things I can think of, is lying on the ground and having 10 to 15-year-olds standing over me. But it's definitely interesting.
A zombie lover herself, Macy says one of her favorite things is all of the humor written into her lines.
Every line is tainted with some sort of reference to something else. There's a lot of Shakespeare references, which I adore because I'm a Shakespeare junkie. So he's done a really good job of doing that.
During rehearsal, other references like to Full House and the film Zombieland can be heard. Though not all references may be understood by a younger audience, a zombie high school homecoming is suitable for those aged 6 years and older and can be seen Thursday, October 31st through Sunday, November 3rd. Tickets and more information can be found at artslivetheater.com.
That's almost all the time we have for this edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville,
Alabama.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Usually I have one of those prepared, and I just blanked this morning. And that's Alabama, not old Alabama.
Right.
Okay.
Right. They're both in our listening area, though.
Yes. Yes. They're relatively close to each other. Whether you live in Alabama, Old Alabama, Lead Hill, South Lead Hill, or any place in the KUAF listening area, we do encourage you, if you have a moment right now, to remember that the reason that public radio and KUAF and Ozarks at Large and This American Life and all the other programs on our station come to you is because listeners become contributors.
Right. And the numbers to call so you can contribute right now, whether you've contributed before or not, 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or you can contribute online at our secure website, supportkuaf.com.
It takes no more than a minute or two. Any questions you have can be answered by the phone volunteers or are probably going to be able to be answered at supportkuaf.com as well.
It's incredibly straightforward. I mean, you just enter your name, how much you would like to give, and how you would like to give, whether it be you want to send us a check, we can bill you.
Your card, you can use your plastic, you can write us a check, you can do installments, bank draft, any number of ways. Payroll deduction.
If you're a University of Arkansas employee, that is what I do every month from my direct deposit into my checking account. They just keep a little bit.
That's what I do as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a very simple way, and we never have to, I never have to remember to re-up. If you'd like to be a sustaining member and you have questions about that, that too can be answered at 800-522-5823. You can also do that online at supportkuaf.com. We'll have a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large Daily Edition tomorrow at noon.
You, Antoinette.
Me, Antoinette. We'll all be back. And later in the week, it's going to be on Thursday, Frank Tavares, the man who has been doing the underwriting credits for decades for NPR. I'll talk to him about his job, so that'll be fun. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
Thanks so much for your support.